Let's read together Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. In this first half of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we have the oft-quoted passage of the Bible which says that there is a time for everything. Let's begin by reading the first 8 verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Let's begin our study of this first half of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 with some background notes. Question: is the main idea in these verses that there is a predetermined time for all events of life, or is the main idea that there is an appropriate time for all events of life? Answer: both ideas, of course, are true according to the rest of Scripture, because God is completely sovereign and in control of everything. And as Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says, God works all things after the counsel of his will. All things certainly includes all things, all events of life. So the Bible certainly does teach that there is an appointed time for everything. And because God is totally sovereign, those times are predetermined, which, by the way, does not deny human responsibility and freedom. However, here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I think the point is more than just the truth that everything is predetermined. It is that there is an appointed and an appropriate time for everything. In fact, that's the word that's used in some of your translations in verse 11. God has made everything appropriate in its time. Notice in the list of the 14 pairs of times given in these verses that there is nothing inappropriate, such as there is a time to lie, or there is a time to cheat, or there is a time to steal, even though God is sovereign over these events as well. All of the activities of life listed here do have appropriate times. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for this first half of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is an appropriate time for everything. There is an appropriate time for everything. There is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. Verse 2. God appoints both the birthday and the death day of every person. Therefore, we should not take the life of the unborn. And we should be careful about using extraordinary measures to prevent God from taking a life at the appointed time to die. Preserve life, yes. Precipitate death, no. But to prevent death, we need to be careful that we do not play God. There is a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. Verse 2. This can be applied not only to the field of agriculture, but to other areas as well. There is a time to support churches and ministries, for example, but also a time not to support churches and ministries if they've turned away from the Lord and his word. There is a time to kill and a time to heal. Verse 3. When would be an appropriate time to kill or take life? Capital punishment. Or in a just war, there would be the rightful taking of life. Our country has thankfully followed this biblical guideline for the most part in its national and international policies. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Verse 4. Weddings and funerals, for example, involve different attitudes and emotions. There is a time to clear a field of stones for planting and a time to gather stones for building. Verse 5. There is a time to embrace and a time not to embrace. Verse 5. The Bible is very clear on standards for sex, and there would be other applications as well. There is a time to gain and a time to lose. So don't cry when the stock market goes down. Expect it. There is a time to keep and a time to throw away. Verse 6. Anyone who has cleaned out an attic, a basement, a shed, or a closet can appreciate how practical this truth is. There is a time to tear and a time to sow. Verse 7. Now, in the culture of that day, tearing a garment was a sign of mourning or grief. So there is a time to grieve, and there's a time to stop grieving. There is a time to be silent and a time to speak. Verse 7. This has many applications, and I'm sure all of us could give at least one application from our own experience, either positive or negative, probably both. How many would agree you've spoken sometimes where we wish you could take that back? Or there's other times when you should have said something, but you didn't? Well, there it is. It's biblical. It happens. There is a time to love and a time to hate. Verse 8. Not malice, but we should hate sin and hate the practice of evil. There's a time for war and a time for peace, verse 8. Notice the Bible does not take a pacifist position, does it? There is a time for war and there's a time for peace. So now in verse 9, the rhetorical question is asked again. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? Remember, this question was asked in chapter 1, verse 3. Read that scripture once again. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? So here in verses 10 through 13 of chapter 3, Solomon comes to essentially the same conclusion that he came to at the end of chapter 2, only now it is with more insight and understanding. Let's read these verses, verses 10 through 13. I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Verses 10 through 13. As Solomon considers all of these appointed and appropriate times in life that God allows in his divine wisdom and sovereignty, he realizes that one good reason is so that we will think about it and occupy ourselves with trying to find out the meaning of life. Verse 10. I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. This is good because it forces us to bring God into the picture. Furthermore, God has set eternity in our hearts. That is a desire to know the meaning of life and what's beyond the grave and how it all fits in with God's eternal plans. Verse 11, He has made everything beautiful or appropriate in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. We will never, in this lifetime, understand all of life's mysteries, because God has not revealed everything, verse 11. But with Solomon, we can conclude that God has his reasons. And since God is sovereign and in ultimate control of everything, we can rejoice in the life that he has given us. Verses 12 and 13, once again, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. There is an appropriate time for everything. And that brings us to our practical application for this portion of Ecclesiastes. So practical application number one, think soberly. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." From Romans chapter 12, verse 3. This verse is in the context of thinking through how to live our lives for the Lord in view of the spiritual gifts and talents the Lord has given us, and in view of the world system all around us. To think soberly or use sound judgment in the way we live out our lives for the Lord would certainly involve the right application of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There is an appropriate time for everything. Let's not be silent when we should speak up, for example, and let's not speak at those times when it would be better to be silent. Think soberly. Practical application number 2. Do good and enjoy life. Do good and enjoy life. Verses 12 and 13, one more time. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. These verses are the conclusion, once again, of what life and labor are all about. Under the sun, without God in the picture, life is meaningless, futile, a big zero. But with God in the picture, life and labor are meaningful, and there can be joyous living. Now, verse 13 is not advocating a hedonistic lifestyle. Far be the thought, right? Verse 13, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. No, far be the thought. It's the gift of God. We can rejoice in life. We can enjoy the fruits of our work and labor. This is all part of the gift of God. But remember to do good. Verse 12. So we can enjoy a good steak dinner, but remember to do good to the hungry and help meet the needs of the poor who can't afford a steak dinner. And we can enjoy skiing and golf and vacation time, but remember to do good to those who don't have the opportunities that we may have. I love Ecclesiastes. It gives us the biblical way to live life with a balanced lifestyle. You know, this was the lifestyle of our Lord. In fact, in Luke chapter 7, verse 34, the Pharisees even wrongly accused the Lord of drinking too much. I'm reading Luke chapter 7, verse 34. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, or excessive drinker. Notice, by the way, it's hard to build a case for only good grape juice from this verse. Yes, there will be appointed and appropriate times of weeping and war and other crises, as we just learned from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But the norm of the believer's life and lifestyle is to do good and enjoy the life that God has given us. It is the gift of God. Do good and enjoy life.